Good evening and welcome to Late Night Live with Pastor Al. Got a Bible question? Wondering what to make of current events? Call now at 888-677-9673. That's 888-677-9673. Now open your Bibles, open your minds, and join in the conversation with your Late Night Live host, Pastor Al Davis.
Well, good evening. Welcome to another edition of Late Night Live with Pastor Al. I'm your host, Pastor Al Davis, even if my voice doesn't quite sound like it here tonight. So pray for me. It's just been a lot of traveling. We were in Kentucky all this past week for most of the time, and a lot of traveling around, a lot of this, a lot of that. After preaching this morning and preaching this evening, my voice is not the greatest right now, so pray for me. But you are listening to Late Night Live with Pastor Al, and I'm your host, Pastor Al Davis. I'll be with you until midnight tonight, and I hope you'll stick with us and even join in the conversation. If you've got a question about the Bible or current events in light of God's Word, you can give us a call tonight. You can call 888-677-9673. That's 888-677-9673. And we'll get you on the air here this evening with your question about the Bible or current events in light of God's Word. And let's go ahead and open our program tonight with a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, Lord, I want to thank you again for the opportunity to be on the air tonight. Pray that you would bless the program. Help us be a blessing, encouragement to somebody tonight. Help us, Lord, to be able to point people that are searching to Christ and then also to encourage believers in their walk with you. And again, through it all, that we would lift up and glorify our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Father, again, help me with my voice here tonight as well to be able to carry on through the program. And just pray that you would just bless for thy glory. For it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. Well, good to be with you tonight, and had fun week, traveled around a bit, saw the Kentucky Veterans Cemetery North, they call it, state of Kentucky, it's the Commonwealth of Kentucky, if you're familiar. There is a difference between states and commonwealths, but we tend to use the term state for places like Kentucky, Pennsylvania, other commonwealths. But they have the Kentucky Department of Veterans Affairs operates 5 cemeteries around the state for veterans. And my wife and I were able to visit the Kentucky Veterans Cemetery North, which is in Grant County, not too far from where the Ark Encounter is. If you've ever been to the Ark Encounter, that's operated by Answers in Genesis Ministries, and it's not too far from there. In fact, a little further up the road is the parking lot where the workers for the Ark park oftentimes. But it was nice being there, and of course some of my family's my wife's family relatives were are buried at that cemetery. So we were there visiting that, and then on our way back from Kentucky on Friday, we stopped at the Northern Kentucky 9/11 Memorial in Crescent Springs, Kentucky, right off from Interstate 75. And that was kind of nice, well done. And I've got some pictures on Facebook that you can see of both the Veterans Cemetery and the 9/11 Memorial there in Kentucky that we visited, and of course visiting family and different things this past week. So it was a good week, good chance to get away, but busy. And I think with all the traveling and changes of weather and everything, it's done a number on my voice. So pray for me, and hopefully we'll get through this tonight without too much trouble, too much difficulty. And if you've got a question, like I said, about the Bible or current events in light of God's Word, you can give us a call tonight, 888-677-9673. That's 888-677-9673. You can also go online at livewithpastoral.com. That's livewithpastoral.com. And you can learn more about me, learn more about the program, and also about our church, the Bible Baptist Church in Richfield, Ohio. And you can listen to past programs there. Thankfully, somebody emailed me today. I've got something wrong with some of the links on some of the more recent programs, so I've got to work on that this coming week. I didn't get much done on the website this past week being out of town, so I'm going to try and catch up on some of that here in the coming weeks. So we'll try to get some more things loaded there. You can also read a variety of things that we have there. I have my article that was in our recent church newsletter. Our church has a newsletter every month, and I try to put an article in there, write an article for it. And this past month, in the July newsletter, I have an article, Cats Are Proof That the Earth Is Not Flat. And that goes back to a cartoon that I'd seen online one time where it said that if you want proof that the Earth is not flat, cats are that proof, because otherwise they'd have knocked everything off it by now. But humorous title, but I dug into what the Bible says, as well as some of the history of the flat Earth movement and some of the problems with it, not the least of which is that many of the people responsible for the modern flat earth movement are, in some cases, simply not sincere, and they certainly aren't Bible-believing Christians. But and you can find that online at livewithpastoral.com. That's livewithpastoral.com. And if you go there and you follow down on the center column there, you'll see that link to the article, Cats Are Proof That the Earth Is Not Flat. And then, of course, there's other articles there. Had one that I posted that I had written a few years ago, How Can I Tell a Good Church from a Bad One? Because we had some people asking questions about selecting churches. And then, of course, in June, we had the article, a shocking statistic based on statistics that are coming out showing that 2/3 of America's pastors do not have a biblical worldview. And some other statistics also that church attendance, membership in churches, synagogues, houses of worship in America, for the first time since they've been keeping records or doing the survey and keeping track of it in the 1930s, they began. Again, this first time ever, we're below 50% of Americans having some kind of attend or membership or allegiance to a house of worship. So these are things that are not good. They are simply not good, and I try to point out some of these things so we can be aware. We need to fight back, we need to pray, and we need to get into the Word of God, and we need to encourage those people who are boldly proclaiming the Word of God. We need to encourage them and pray for them that they can keep doing the work that they're doing. All right. Well, as I said, you can also check us out online at liveatpastoral.com and link to our church, Richfield Bible Baptist Church, and you can find out some more information there about our church. If you're ever in northeastern Ohio and would like to visit us, we'd love to have you. If you live in northeastern Ohio, and you're looking for a church that takes a stand on the Word of God, I hope you come out and give us a try. Take a look at our church. Visit us sometime. Services on Sunday or our Friday night Bible study. All that information is available. Just simply go to livewithpastoral.com. All right. Well, we're going to get into some things here tonight. And, before I do that, one other thing I want to touch on before we get to our callers. We have some callers already, and we have lines open, 888-677-9673, but pray for the situation in the Middle East. I was talking to some people after church today, and in the stuff with Russia and the Ukraine has got everybody's attention up there, but there's a lot going on in the Middle East that people are not focused on. And I was just looking at the headlines from the Jerusalem Post here this evening, and they've got one article that they've got featured right here. IDF chief, the IDF, of course, the Israeli Defense Forces, IDF chief Kohavi warns Israel might be required to act against Iran, and this is a result of, and there's another article entitled Khamenei, that's the cleric that's in charge of Iran, and Khamenei, Ayatollah Khamenei, advisor, says that Tehran is, quote, capable of building nuclear bomb. And so this is a question that's been bothering a lot of people. It seems like, and a lot of people have come to the realization or conclusion that Iran now has enough enriched uranium to be able to produce nuclear bomb, more than one potentially, and technically capable of building it. But the question is, have they yet decided to do it? And that's what the senior advisor to Iran's supreme leader, Ayatollah Khamenei, has said. And so this is, I think that's name is Kamal Karazi. But this is what has concerned the Israelis and the IDF chief, Gahavi. He's made these comments that they may have to act, because if indeed they have the potential of building a nuclear bomb, this is a an existential threat to the very existence of Israel. Of course, that's from a human perspective. We understand what the Bible has to say, and we can touch on some of those things as time goes by. The prophecies in Psalm 83 that predict a coming battle where the nations surrounding Israel will attempt to destroy Israel, but they will themselves be destroyed. Some other passages in Ezekiel and Isaiah that indicate that the nations around Israel that attempt to destroy them will be destroyed, and all this will take place before the Ezekiel 38 invasion, the Gog-Magog invasion of Israel. And it's interesting because the nations immediately surrounding Israel are not mentioned in Ezekiel 38. And of course, those nations would be Egypt, Lebanon, Syria, and what today makes up the nations of Iraq and Jordan. And there's good reason to believe from the scriptures that the result of the Psalm 83 battle, those areas will be destroyed. That's why they're not a part of the Ezekiel 38 battle, which I believe will come later. The Psalm 83 battle could happen at any time, and the Ezekiel 38 battle, my understanding of it, I would pit that or picture that as happening right around either potentially just before, or probably more likely right shortly after the rapture, the catching away of the believers and the rise of the Antichrist. Those are all some things that we can talk about, but I just wanted to mention, pray for Israel, pray for the Middle East, and this is prophetic. Certainly the fact that Israel is there today, that's certainly a fulfilled prophecy. But I was going to say in Zechariah, before we get to our telephone calls here tonight, in Zechariah chapter 12, God says this, and this was hundreds of years before Christ was even born, so this makes this over 2,000 years ago, probably nearly 2,500 years ago. In Zechariah chapter 1 or 12 and verse 1 says, "The burden of the word of the Lord for Israel, saith the Lord, which stretcheth forth the heavens and layeth the foundation of the earth, and formeth the spirit of man within him." He says in verse 2, "Behold, I will make Jerusalem a cup of trembling unto all the people round about, when they shall be in siege both against Judah and against Jerusalem. And in that day," he says in verse 3, "I will make Jerusalem a burdensome stone for all people. All that burden themselves with it shall be cut in pieces, though all the people of the earth be gathered together against it." Why would all the people of the world be gathered against a little city like Jerusalem? Why is it such a burdensome stone to the world? I remember looking at this one time, came to the conclusion that Jerusalem isn't much bigger than Akron, Ohio. And Akron, Ohio, not too far from where I live. It's not the biggest city in Ohio, believe me, and a population probably more similar to that of Columbus, Ohio, which, of course, is probably the biggest city in Ohio, but that's population-wise, not geographically. And so when we look at this, why would a city that is moderate in size be a burdensome stone for all people and a cup of trembling to people round about all over the world? Why is the world concerned about this? Why was it such a big deal when Joe Biden went to Israel this past week, visited Jerusalem, and then stirred up a hornet's nest of controversy when he went to East Jerusalem, and he appeared with the leader of the Palestinian Authority, Mahmoud Abbas, and he said and echoed what the Secretary of State said previously, that they're planning to open a consulate in Jerusalem for the Palestinian people. They're trying to recognize a Palestinian state separate from the state of Israel, which indeed really was the original Palestinian state. You can find some of that on my website, livewithpastoral.com. I have an article linked there entitled, "Will the Real Palestinians Please Stand Up?" that I wrote some years back. And when you look at that situation there, we have an embassy there that President Donald Trump had built in Jerusalem. Our previous embassy was in Tel Aviv. In the 1980s, the U.S. Congress passed legislation requiring the U.S. embassy to be moved from Tel Aviv to Jerusalem. President Clinton did not do it. President George W. Bush did not do it. President Obama did not do it. President Trump came into office with the promise that he would do it, and he did it. And it is a tremendous thing that he did, recognizing what the Bible tells us anyways, that Jerusalem is the eternal capital of the Jewish people. It's also, it's God's city, it's God's land, and it's God's decision who he wants to be there, and he has chosen to place the Jewish people there, not the Arab peoples. That's a whole other area, a whole other topic to get into. But Jerusalem is a burdensome stone to the world today. And so pray for the peace of Jerusalem. The Bible says God will bless you for it. And also we know that there's a lot of things the Bible says are going to happen in that part of the world. And is it going to happen right now? Is this the unfolding? I don't know. I'm certainly not going to predict that. But I do know the Bible has some amazing predictions in store that involve a great deal of conflict in the Middle East, and all of these things will culminate eventually with the return of Christ at the close of the seven-year tribulation period to return as King of Kings and Lord of Lords and establish his kingdom and his rule over this earth for 1,000 years. And much to be said in the Bible about that. It's exciting things to talk about. But as Jesus said in Luke chapter 21, when you see these things begin to happen, not when they have happened, he says, when you see these things begin to happen, he says, we're to look up, for our redemption draweth nigh. You're listening to Late Night Live with Pastor Al. I'm your host, Pastor Al Davis. If you got a question about the Bible or current events in light of God's Word, you can give us a call tonight at 888-677-9673. That's 888-677-9673. Nancy is patiently waiting for us on the phone. Nancy, welcome to the program tonight. Good evening. Is Nancy there? Hello, Nancy. All right, we've not got Nancy coming through. All right, we'll get Terry right now next and see if we can get Nancy back there. But Terry, welcome to the program tonight.
Good evening, Pastor O.
Good evening. How are you doing?
My voice is a little coarse.
You and me both.
Well, but enjoyed the party.
Yes.
I'm not working tomorrow, so I decided to call in. But
glad to have you.
I thought it was interesting what's going on. I better talk about what I was going to talk about. But when Samuel called the witch of Endor, right, to go and pray for the
yes,
he. He was literally talking to Samuel.
Yes, that is a very unusual situation. That's in 1 Samuel chapter 28.
And so
Yeah, he remember Saul had basically one of the good things that he had done. He had endeavored to get rid of all of those that practiced necromancy and spiritism, that sort of stuff, out of the land, witches and things like that. But of course, many of them still continued to exist. And God was no longer speaking to Saul. Samuel, the prophet, had died and gone into paradise, and he was desperate for word of the Lord. He was getting nothing, for the backstory for people who are listening. And so Saul, in 1 Samuel chapter 28, verse 7, then said, Saul, he's the king, first king of Israel, seek me a woman that hath a familiar spirit, that I may go to her and inquire of her. And that's the one that we're talking about. So go ahead, Terry.
Yeah, and a lot of, and he shouldn't have done that, and it cost him his life, I believe.
Well, whether or not it cost him his life, the news that he got was that his life was over.
Too happy. Yeah, and Samuel told him, and Samuel himself told him that he only had 24 hours to live, him and his
right,
family, I believe.
Right. The in fact, it's really interesting when you read this story, because this is one of the evidences of one of the ways we know that God gave us this book, because traditional histories, when you read of other nations and peoples at this time, they gloss over, you know, the warts and the bad things that happened to their leaders and only gave the glowing reports. This is a rather sad situation of their very first king. And so he had banned women, you know, witches, those that dealt with familiar spirits, and yet he goes and he tries to find one that's doing what he had said would people get the death penalty for. And so we find him disguising himself, goes to this woman, and that's again in 1 Samuel chapter 28. In verse 8, he said, I pray thee, divine unto me by the familiar spirit, and bring me him up whom I shall name unto thee. And the woman, of course, is a little suspicious, because she says in verse 9, behold, thou knowest what Saul hath done, how he hath cut off those that have familiar spirits and wizards out of the land. Wherefore then layest thou a snare for my life to cause me to die? And it continues, and Saul sware to her by the Lord, saying, as the Lord liveth, there shall no punishment happen to thee for this thing. Then said the woman, whom shall I bring up to thee? And he said, and here it is, bring me Samuel. Now, this is a serious offense on Saul's part.
Right.
And this is something.
It's a death penalty.
Yeah, and this is something God said not to do. But also, we know from elsewhere in the scriptures, when a person dies, you do not hang around the earth and wander around seeking, you know, release or something like that. Now, this is prior to the cross, where Jesus went to the cross, where he was crucified, died on the cross, buried, and rose again. So this is prior to the death, burial, and resurrection of Christ. And at this time, in there's other passages that get into this, and we've talked about it on the program before. So rather than get so much off the path on that, but the Bible indicates that at this time, when a person who was unrighteous, an unrepentant sinner, died, they went into Sheol, which is the Hebrew equivalent of the Greek word Hades, from which we get the word hell, but it's also translated oftentimes as the grave or the pit, especially in the Old Testament. And so when the unrepentant sinners died in the Old Testament, they descended into hell, into a place called torment. But we also find in the Old Testament that the believers, those that had put their faith in God, in the Messiah to come. You know, you and I, we put our faith in the Messiah who came. We know him as Jesus Christ. But people in the Old Testament, like Samuel, for instance, they put their faith in the Messiah who would come. They did not know yet who the Lord Jesus Christ would be, but they had faith that the Messiah would come. And so there's where their hope was. But because Jesus had not yet shed his blood and paid the price at Calvary, they died, but they didn't deserve to go into torment. They also went into hell, into a place called paradise. And you can see in Psalm 16, which Peter quoted on the day of Pentecost when he preached his great sermon that resulted in thousands of people getting saved, Peter said, quoted David in Psalm 16 saying, in verse 9 and 10, "Therefore my heart is glad, and my glory rejoiceth. My flesh also shall rest in hope, for thou wilt not leave my soul in hell, neither wilt thou suffer thine Holy One to see corruption." And even Peter in the New Testament, in the book of Acts, when he quoted Psalm 16, he also talked about David being confident that he would not be left in hell. Well, David was not in a place of torment. He was in the place of, also called Abraham's bosom or paradise, in the abode of the dead prior to the cross. So when somebody died prior to the cross, they either went directly into paradise or torment, but they went directly into the abode of the dead. They didn't wander back to the earth. And we don't see that in the Bible. Today, when people die, the unrepentant sinner goes into the place of torment in hell still, but the repentant person, the believer, the Bible says absent from the body means to be present with the Lord, which means you go to heaven now because the price was paid, and those who are in paradise are all likewise in heaven now, and so we don't wander the earth anymore either. And, you know, you get these ghost stories where somebody says, "But I know I saw somebody. There's this bridge, you know, crybaby bridge." There's a crybaby bridge, I think, in every county in America. And, you know, someday or sometime, 100, 150, 200 years ago, a carriage went off with a bunch of kids and they killed in the river and they don't know they're dead. So they just wander around there and you can still see them at midnight when the moon is dark or some nonsense. And if anything happens, it's not the spirits of those people that died coming back haunting people. I would think that after a few hundred years or even a few dozen years of seeing people scared and running away and your clothes never wearing out and never getting anything to eat, that unless you're brain dead, you'd realize that something has changed. But somehow these spirits supposedly don't know that they're dead and they're waiting to be released. No, these are false spirits, familiar spirits, evil spirits. They're otherwise known as devils, fallen angels that mimic the dead. But in this particular case, in 1 Samuel chapter 28, the amazing thing that happens is that Samuel actually is brought forward. And the woman herself is awful shocked because in 1 Samuel 28, verse 12, it says, "When the woman saw Samuel," it doesn't say when the woman saw the spirit or any indication other than that she saw Samuel. The Bible plainly says, "And when the woman saw Samuel, she cried with a loud voice. And the woman spake to Saul, saying, Why hast thou delivered me? For thou art Saul." She realizes who he is. And then when Saul continues to talk with her, let me drop down to verse 14. He said, "What form is he of?" And she said, "An old man cometh up. He's covered with a mantle." And Saul perceived that it was Samuel. So again, the woman says she saw Samuel. Saul says he sees Samuel. And then in verse 15, it says, "And Samuel said to Saul, Why hast thou disquieted me to bring me up?" So Samuel says it's Samuel. So a lot of people say, "Oh, it can't be Samuel. It's a familiar spirit." No, the Bible says that the woman said it's Samuel. The Bible says that Saul said it's Samuel. The Bible says Samuel says it's Samuel. And again, in verse 16, "Then said Samuel." So again, the Bible says it's Samuel. So what are we?
Yeah, Samuel said to Saul, "This day you shall be with me."
Exactly, and that's what he said him.
He wasn't separated from God either. He was saved. He was still saved.
Yeah, and he was in Saul, despite his failures, still was a believer. And right. Samuel said, "Yes, this day," or actually tomorrow, he said, and tomorrow, verse 19, "Tomorrow shalt thou and thy sons be with me." Hey, can you hold on, Terry? We got a break coming up. We'll pick this up on the other side of the break. We'll continue. Stay tuned. We got another half hour to go. You're listening to Late Night Live with Pastor Al. I'm your Late Night Live host, Pastor Al Davis, pastor of the Bible Baptist Church in Richfield, Ohio. I want to invite you to visit us at the Bible Baptist Church in Richfield. The Bible Baptist Church meets at 4174 Wheatley Road, Suite 200 in Richfield, midway between Akron and Cleveland, just off both Interstate 77 and Interstate 271. The Bible Baptist Church meets each Sunday morning for Bible study at 10 a.m., morning worship at 11 a.m., and evening worship at 6 p.m. The Bible Baptist Church also meets each Friday night at 7 p.m. for an informal Bible study where you get to bring the questions just like on Late Night Live with Pastor Al. Even if we don't see you at the Bible Baptist Church, we want to see you in heaven. Jesus says in the Bible, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me." Why? Well, because the Bible says there is none righteous, no, not one. We are all as an unclean thing, and all our righteousnesses are as filthy rags. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. The Bible also says, "Wherefore as by one man sin entered into the world, and death by sin, and so death passed upon all men, for that all have sinned. For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. For when we were yet without strength, in due time Christ died for the ungodly. But God commended his love toward us, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Much more then, being now justified by his blood, we shall be saved from wrath through him." And so the Bible says that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. For the scripture saith, "Whosoever believeth on him shall not be ashamed. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved." I like that. Whosoever, that means you. If this show has been a blessing to you, why not let us know? You can contact us by writing to Pastor Al Davis at Post Office Box 452, Richfield, Ohio, 44286. Our email address is pastoral@maplenoel.us. You can also visit our website at livewithpastoral.com. That's livewithpastoral.com. Or you can call us at 330-659-6561. We'd love to hear from you, but now let's get back to our program. Well, welcome back. You're listening to Late Night Live with Pastor Al. I'm your host, Pastor Al Davis. I'll be with you until midnight tonight. Pray for me. Hopefully my voice will be with us until midnight tonight as well. And so hopefully we'll get through this without too much trouble there. And remember, if you've got a question about the Bible or current events in light of God's Word, you can give us a call tonight. 888-677-9673. That's 888-677-9673. Check us out online at livewithpastoral.com. That's livewithpastoral.com. And, of course, the program is brought to you by our home church, Richfield Bible Baptist Church. We'll have more information about that at the end of the program and had some just a moment ago. But you can, if you go to livewithpastoral.com, you can click on the link for our church there, find out more. And also brought to you tonight by East Coast Pizza in Garfield Heights. You can find East Coast Pizza at 4889 Turney Road, right across the street from the Garfield Heights High School. Call them at 216-341-9100. That's 216-341-9100. If you're in the Cleveland area, it's great pizza. In fact, I need to get me some of that again sometime. I haven't had some for a while. If you're outside of the area and you're interested in getting into the pizza business yourself, give East Coast Pizza a call at 216-341-9100. That's 216-341-9100. And ask Gus how he can help you get your own pizza business going yourself. All right, we're getting back to our program here. You're listening to Late Night Live with Pastor Al. We'll be with you until midnight. If you've got a question about the Bible or current events in light of God's Word, you can give us a call tonight, 888-677-9673. That's 888-677-9673. Wanted to get back to Terry here. We were talking about an interesting occurrence in 1 Samuel chapter 28, I believe it was 1 Samuel chapter 28, where the prophet Samuel had died. Saul was, because of his disobedience to God, he was under God's discipline, punishment, but he was being chastened by the Lord, and part of that chastening is God was not speaking to him, and Saul was involved in some threats to his to the kingdom, and so he was desperate for some word from God, couldn't find it, and finally he compromises, does something he never should have done in the first place. He goes and he seeks out a woman with a familiar spirit, also called the Witch of Endor, we refer to her as, and uses her to try and get in touch with the departed prophet Samuel. And the amazing thing that happens here is that God actually allowed Samuel's spirit to appear. And there's reasons for that. We're talking with Terry here. And the reasons, of course, is that the woman said that it was Samuel. Saul said that it was Samuel. Well, they can be fooled, but the Bible says that Samuel said, why hast thou disquieted to bring me up? So Samuel says it's Samuel. The Bible says it's Samuel. There's nothing here that indicates that it's a familiar spirit, a fallen angel. There's nothing here to indicate that it's anybody but Samuel. This is very unusual, the only time in the scripture that God allowed this to happen. And so we have Terry with us, I think, still on the line. Terry, welcome back to the program.
Welcome back. One reason why I brought this subject up is because somebody on the affiliate station called in and said that Samuel, or Saul, wasn't talking to Samuel, but he was actually talking to the devil.
Right.
And when he said that, all red flags popped up.
Oh, yeah. Like, and, you know, think about it. You know, it can't be the devil. Was he talking like Satan himself or just a devil?
Yeah.
It can't be. Himself. It can't be. No. Satan is not in hell right now. And this is a false teaching that's out there. In fact, this morning I was preaching in 1 Peter chapter 5, and I actually spent my time on verses 8 and 9, where it says, be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about, seeking whom he may devour. And I spent a great deal of time talking about who the devil is. He's a fallen angel, but he is not, nor has he ever been, in hell. And if he were there, he would have been stuck there. God would have had to allow him out of hell. But right now, Satan walks the earth. The Bible calls him the prince of the power of the air, calls him the god of this world. And Satan is not in hell. But there's a false teaching that's out there, and I don't know where people get it, because they don't get it from the Bible, but the false teaching out there is that Satan rules in hell, and that when the souls of the unrighteous dead go to hell, that the devil persecutes them, and the other fallen angels that are in hell persecute them, and that the devil rules over them all. And nothing could be farther from the truth in the scriptures. In fact, the Bible indicates, if you study out Isaiah chapter 14, verses 12 through 17, and Ezekiel chapter 28, verses 11 through 19, that the devil eventually is going to be cast into the lake of fire. And while he's there, he's going to be looked upon, and people are going to shake their heads over him, you know, with the idea. Let me see if I can find that one in Isaiah chapter 14 here real quick, where Let's see.
You said you did all this?
Yeah, exactly. Because when you look at that, it says here, it is in Isaiah chapter 14, and it says in verse 16, or let's start in verse 15, "Yet thou shalt be brought down to hell." He's not there yet, to the sides of the pit. Okay, now let's back this up. This is not going to be the lake of fire yet. This is going to be hell. This is the temporary abode of the dead. Hell itself, according to Revelation, is going to be cast into the lake of fire. So this is a temporary place until the great white throne judgment. And assume what's described here will also be occurring during the lake of fire for all eternity. But it says, "Thou shalt be brought down to hell, to the sides of the pit. They that see thee shall narrowly look upon thee and consider thee, saying, Is this the man that made the earth to tremble, and that did shake kingdoms, that made the world as a wilderness, and destroyed the cities thereof, that opened not the house of his prisoners? All the kings of the nations, even all of them, lie in glory, every one in his own house. But thou art cast out of thy grave like an abominable branch, and as the raiment, the raiment of those that are slain, thrust through at the sword, and go down to the stones of the pit as a carcass trodden under feet." In other words, it says that the other residents of hell are going to look down on him, saying, "Is this the being? Is this the one that caused all this problem?" That's a far cry from Satan ruling in hell, isn't it?
Yeah, he's roaming the earth right now.
Yeah,
and he can only be in one place at one time.
Exactly.
Can he be in hell and
exactly
roaming the earth at the same time?
And when he's in hell, he's going to be an object of ridicule and scorn. And he's going to suffer more than any other angel, more than any other human being when he's in hell, because he's the source of all this, the first, and led other angels in rebellion against God, led Adam and Eve in rebellion against God, has certainly persecuted people and ruined people's lives by the scores of thousands, millions throughout history. And he is not going to be ruling from some throne in hell. He's going to be lying in the pit, the object of scorn and derision. And where people get that he rules and reigns in hell, I don't know. They don't get it from the King James Bible, that's for sure. Maybe they got some weird version that has that. It's not from my Bible.
Well, so, people underestimate him, too. They think that he doesn't know anything. But
oh, yeah.
He knows God better than we do.
Well, and, you know, as we were talking about this at church today. I said C.S. Lewis wrote a book called The Screwtape Letters. And in it, it's basically a fictitious account of a senior devil responding to letters for advice from a junior devil and how to corrupt people and all that. And as they go back and forth, I believe Screwtape, who's the senior devil, says something to the effect of, "The two errors that human beings make about us is either overestimate us, they think we're responsible for everything, or they underestimate us, they don't think we're much of anything." He says either mistake is fine. It doesn't matter which opinion to them that you hold, because in either case you don't really know what they're doing or fully understand what they're doing. That's why we need to let the Bible shape what we believe about Satan and the fallen angels, not somebody's weird theory that he rules and reigns in hell and that he's like the version of God, because God is present everywhere and at all times. And the devil is only present in one place at any given time. Completely different entities.
Say that, you know, there's Reformed churches that teaches that Satan has no power whatsoever right now.
Yeah, and I've seen that before. They think he's in hell right now, and he doesn't have any access to the earth whatsoever. Now, of course, Job was before the cross, and in Job chapter 1 and 2, we see him active. But Jesus is called our advocate in 1 John chapter 2 with the Father because of the adversary, the devil. And Peter in 1 Peter, where I was just reading in chapter 5, says that the devil as a roaring lion walketh about seeking whom he may devour. I don't know where the Reformers missed that passage, but Satan is very active in the world today, and Samuel was allowed to come up, delivered a message, And true to the message that he gave, Saul was killed the next day and joined him down in the abode of the dead. Hey, Terry, I've got another caller I got to get to yet tonight as well.
Okay.
But this was a good topic, and appreciate you bringing that up, and thanks for the call. And you are listening to Late Night Live with Pastor Al. We've got Nancy, who's been patiently waiting here. Are you back with us, Nancy?
Yes, I could hear you on the radio when you were talking to me, but you couldn't hear me.
Right. Well, we've got you now. I can hear you now.
Yeah. My question, well, you know, I like to witness to people a lot, and there's one certain person, I'm not going to mention who it is, that I was witnessing to. I just sort of talking generally, you know, I'm trusting Jesus as Lord and Savior, and I'm hoping that you trusted Jesus as Lord and Savior. And this is what he said, and he sort of stumped me because I didn't know how to respond to him. He said, "I don't want anybody telling me what to do." So I guess he's saying, you know, he doesn't want God to tell him what to do. If he gets saved, God's going to tell him what to do. Now, I was stumped as to what to tell him. Do you have any suggestions when I run into him again, what I can say?
Well, you know, you hear this. I don't want somebody telling me what to do. And see, that's part of the problem that they have. It's that pride. You know, I was just talking with Terry in regards to, you know, the devil and what caused him. Let me go back to Isaiah chapter 14 here for just a moment on that, because with what you just said, nobody's going to tell, I don't want anybody telling me what to do. In other words, I want to make all the decisions about my life. I want to do what I want to do. Look what happened with Lucifer in Isaiah 14. You'll see where that attitude comes from. In Isaiah 14, starting at verse 12, Isaiah writes here, "How art thou fallen from heaven, O Lucifer, son of the morning? How art thou cut down to the ground, which didst weaken the nations? For thou hast said in thine heart, I will ascend into heaven. I will exalt my throne above the stars of God. I will sit also upon the mount of the congregation in the sides of the north. I will ascend up above the heights of the clouds. I will be like the Most High." There's five I wills there. And what you see is I will, I will, I will, I will, I will. Not God, what wilt thou have me do? Remember Paul when he got saved? And he was going by the name of Saul at first, remember? And he was on the Damascus Road, heading up to Damascus.
What would you have me do?
Yeah, Jesus met him on the road. He was blinded by the light, and he heard Jesus speaking to him, and that was, he changed from what I will do, which is is reminiscent of what Satan said, and he said, "Lord, what wilt thou have me to do?" And the problem with people like that, and you have to pray for them. You cannot convince them. I don't believe that you can argue them out of that position. God has...
I just wanted to get their advice.
I don't even think you can reason them out of that position. I was preaching tonight in Proverbs chapter 20, in verse 27, "The spirit of man is the candle of the Lord, searching all the inward parts of the belly." And I don't have time to get into my whole message there right now. But when he talks about this, the spirit of man is a candle of the Lord. The spirit of man, when God breathed the spirit into Adam and he became a living soul, spirit is what enlivens us. It gives us, it's the life, you know, that we have. You take the spirit of man out of the body is dead. So without the spirit, there's no life. With the spirit, there is life. We're talking secular, we're not talking the spirit of God yet. But it's also the spirit of God a spirit of man that God communicates with his spirit in order to bring light into the heart of the unsaved person. And the spirit of man is the candle of the Lord, talks a lot about the conscience that we have, where people have an innate sense of right and wrong. You don't have to teach people that there's right and wrong. People understand it instinctively. And the Lord uses that through the spirit to light up the inward parts of a person so that you can see your sin and understand your lost condition. So God's Spirit has to show them their lost condition, but when all they'll say is, I'm not going to have somebody tell me what to do, they don't realize the poor logic, I guess you could say, of that statement, because they're allowing the devil to tell them what to do. They really are. They're being led by the world, the flesh, and the devil. They're not their own person. They think that they are. I've used this illustration before many years ago. It's probably, I know it's been over 15 years ago, probably close to 20 years ago. We had a young woman that visited our church. As somebody that was going to our church at the time managed to get her to come and visit. Well, this young woman sat in the back with her pet snake. I don't know how many people have had a pet snake in their auditorium. And she had, you know, tattoos and piercings and all this sort of stuff. She was only about 18 years old. She was a drug addict. She was an alcoholic. And she did not, and she almost said the same thing. I don't want somebody telling me what to do. I'm going to do what I want to do. But here's the problem that she had. She had a habit. She wanted drugs. She wanted alcohol. She wanted cigarettes. So she was willing to do whatever it took in order to satisfy her habit. So her habit, her addiction to cigarettes and alcohol and drugs forced her to dance in a strip club.
Oh, my goodness.
Now, I don't think from talking with her that that's what she wanted to do, but she did it in order to get money. So was she really doing what she wanted to do, or was she doing what the drugs wanted her to do?
That's a good point, yeah.
And see, many of these people, and it might not be that extreme, but many of these people who say, I don't want somebody telling me what to do, are being told what to do by some habit. They're being told what to do by their sin nature. They're being told what to do by the world. They're being told what to do by the flesh and the devil. And they think that they're in charge, and the devil's more than happy for them to think that they're in charge. But they also forget something else. And this is very important. Revelation chapter 4, when John is caught up into heaven and he begins to see the future events that are going to take place, John is caught up into heaven to the throne room of God. And while he is there, he sees the 24 elders, the Bible says, are around the throne of God, and he sees the four beasts. These are angelic beings that circle the throne of God, crying, "Holy, holy, holy, Lord God Almighty." And when these beasts, I'll just start here in verse 9, and when those beasts give glory and honor and thanks to him that sat on the throne who liveth forever and ever, the 24 elders fall down before him that sat on the throne and worship him that liveth forever and ever. That's Christ. They're worshiping the Lord. And cast their crowns before the throne, saying, and this is what they say, "Thou art worthy, O Lord, to receive glory and honor and power, for thou hast created all things, and for thy pleasure they are and were created." That person that says, I don't want anybody to tell me what to do, I'm going to do what I want to do, he was created by God for God's pleasure. God created that person. He created you, he created me, he created everybody for his pleasure. So when we say, I don't want God telling me what to do, what are we in effect doing? We're rebelliously shaking our fist in the face of God, exactly like Lucifer did when he said, I will exalt my throne. I will be like the Most High, you know, the five I wills that we had there in Isaiah 14.
So anyhow, this person that I was witnessing to doesn't want anybody telling him what to do. Now, he would be furious if I said, you know, Satan is telling you what to do with this attitude. I mean, he would be livid.
Oh, yeah.
So I guess all I can do is just pray for him.
Yeah, because people don't want to admit the truth.
Right.
That young woman that visited our church, she was adamant nobody was telling her what to do. But her drug addiction was certainly telling her what to do. It was plain to us looking at her.
Yeah.
So people like that are not seeing things clearly. This, I like to put it in perspective. I wear glasses. I've worn glasses since the fourth grade. If I don't have my glasses on, everything's blurry. I don't see clearly because I have eye trouble. And that's exactly what happened with Lucifer, because when you have eye trouble, you just don't see things clearly. And you don't see spiritual things clearly. And we've talked about iniquity, which was found in him, starts with the letter I. I is the center of pride. I is the center of sin. And this is the problem. Lucifer no longer saw things clearly. When he took his eyes off from God and put them on himself, he developed eye problems. And that's what's happening with a lot of unsaved people today. They have eye problems because of sin and pride and iniquity. They do not see themselves as God sees them. They don't see themselves clearly. They certainly don't see the scripture clearly, because the natural man, the Bible says, receives not the things of God because they're spiritually discerned. And so they need the Spirit of God to bring them clear vision, to see themselves as God sees them, and to see that they were created by God, for God, not the other way around. God has the right to demand that we put our faith and trust in him if we want to go to heaven, because he's the one who created us for his pleasure and for his glory, not the other way around. So it's a hard thing for people to realize. You just have to pray for him sometimes.
Clearly, I really appreciate that.
All right. I appreciate the call tonight, Nancy. And I want to thank you for being with us here this evening and for hanging on. And I want to thank Terry for calling us tonight. I want to thank everybody for listening this evening. I hope you'll join us next week. Check us out live at PastorAl.com. Have a great week. God bless.
You've been listening to Late Night Live with Pastor Al. To learn more about Pastor Al Davis and Late Night Live, visit our website, livewithpastoral.com. That's livewithpastoral.com. You can also listen to past programs and read articles on a variety of topics by Al Davis at livewithpastoral.com. Pastor Al Davis invites you to visit him at the Bible Baptist Church in Richfield, Ohio, next Sunday morning at 11 a.m., next Sunday evening at 6 p.m., or you can join us for our Friday night Bible study from 7 to 9 p.m. The Bible Baptist Church meets at 4174 Wheatley Road, Suite 200 in Richfield, every Sunday at 11 a.m., 6 p.m., and every Friday at 7. You can contact Pastor Al by writing Pastor Al Davis, Post Office Box 452, Richfield, Ohio 44286, or email Pastor Al at pastoral@maplenoel.us. And tune in every week for Late Night Live with Pastor Al, Sunday nights at 11 on this station. Late Night Live with Pastor Al is brought to you by the Bible Baptist Church in Richfield, Ohio.